70, it says on it. 70. Iris 70 from Rabbi Neir's Perish. That's the page you should have from last time.
Oh, thank you.
Say that. Okay, let's learn this last part of the Torah that we were doing from the Iris Atchia, and then we'll continue on in Eretz Chayfetz. Talking about the strange matzav that we're in now. Now, to us, it seems like it's a very long time because this is the only life that we're experiencing, and it feels like a long time that we're in this strange shlav of pekida zechira, this shlav of having woken up from the long, long sleep of galus, but not being fully conscious of what's happening. And Rav Kook saw the time that he was in, and even though it's already some years since Rav Kook was in this world, and it feels like a long time, but we're in this shlav. And we see it now so clearly, everything that Rav Kook was talking about. You know, you have some people that, it's rare, but you have some people that when you wake them up, the second that they wake up, they're like 100%, like on top of their game. There are a few people like that. You wake them up, and the second that they're up, they make sense, and they're like fully functioning, and they go right into the day. Most people are not like that. Mm-hmm. Most people, there's a in-between shlav of being asleep and being awake. There's this funny thing in between where you're awake, you're officially awake, could be even watched Negavas already, but you're not really engaged yet. You're not really back into the world. So Rav Kook identified the time they were in as that post-slumber, like early morning. We've woken up. There was this great awakening that took place that we lived through. This casting away of the long years of galus and the assumption that Jews have to live embittered and miserable lives, meshubit to others. The idea that we have to end our lives, we have to live our lives and end our lives far away from Yerushalayim. So we've woken up from that. We've woken up from that sleep. But we're still like dragging around. We haven't become fully engaged in the new reality of Geula. And it's very, very hard this time in between. So look, first, let's read the text on top of page 70 again, if you have it. I hope that, I know that at least 16 or 17 you have it now. I mean, it's the significant percentage of men who lost theirs and the women who never lose their things. Doima hadavar la'adam hameketz mishinaso. Rav Avi Neir explains Rav Avi Neir's words. He's explaining what Rav Kook said. That we learned before. And he's explaining that Doima Hadavala Adama Mekits Mishinasa. This is another marshal. The first marshal we were learning is about the teenager. Right, we're talking about the teenager. That he's not a baby anymore. He's not a baby. He's left that gullus of being a child. But at the same time, he's not yet really fully developed or mature. That's a very, very clear and powerful marshal and we have to try to relate to the difficulties that are experienced by that child who hasn't fully grown up. the kicking, the screaming, the carrying on, the resentment, the rebelliousness. That's our generation. That was the marshal we were learning until now. That was the marshal that Rav Kook was talking about until now. And this marshal is waking up. It can be compared to a person who wakes up from sleep. But he's still like in the grip of being asleep. I mentioned to you, my wife told me that she had this in seminary. When she was in seminary, she had this, I think I mentioned it last time, there was this unbelievably refined, beautiful girl, a friend of hers, a Balas Midas. But she had this, she liked to sleep. She would sleep a little bit late. And when it was time to get to davening at the class, so my wife said she was her roommate, and she would, you know, whatever, she would give a little bit of a shake. She said that this girl would let loose with such four-letter words. And she didn't remember it all. She didn't remember. She's the sweetest girl. And she would say, you blank, and get the blank, and the blank, and the blank. And my wife said it was a pachet, like, to listen to this. And then she wouldn't remember it. She was, hi, good morning. Hashem loves us, you know. And she was like... So you have that funny time, like, okay, that's very extreme. You have that funny time of when you're officially up, but you're not really present. And umaschilim lamalmel, gibuve milim muzarim ubilti hagyonim. And very often a person in that state is mumbling things that are nonsense, things that don't make sense. It's Irish guy, saying things that. Now, so you could say, this is the person's not making any sense. Is this any better than being asleep? So the Torah says it is better than being asleep. It is better. It's the beginning of return to life. It's that possibility of being able in a moment to snap back into reality. Sleep is, as you know, is 1/60th of death. Sleep is a certain inyan of dying. When the person's awake, like somebody who is also sick for chas v'chalila, who is in a coma, and is coming around, so everybody's excited, even though what the person is saying is narishkeit, but everybody's thrilled that chas de Hashem, he came back, she's back into the world. It's just a little bit in between. So in that place in between, there's narishkeit. There are things that are silly. So it's definitely better than being partially dead. Kach am Yisrael la'osa shtuyos v'lagarim l'kil kulam shanim v'shunim b'meshach alpayim shana v'nei shahay shakur b'tademus mavis. So there are all kinds of crazy things all kinds of terrible kilkulam that have taken place for so long, for thousands of years, because we were shakur b'tardemas mavis. We were asleep. Ani yishena is galus, Chazal say. We were asleep. And sleep is a type of death, is a certain percentage, a piece of death. And we were in that place of mavis, so we were missing so much self-respect and dignity and kaiches and all the things that we've been talking about throughout the Sefer, that Rav Kook saw that is now starting to come back to life. That's why everything is about tchia, the revival. Iris had tchia. Everything's tchia. Everything's coming back to life. Va'ata haketz haketz. And now Rav Kook says, Baruch Hashem, we're awake. Avarak hechel haketz. However, Rav Kook says, Rak hachel, these are Rav Kook's words, Rak hachel in his mamar. But we just have started. It's just the beginning of being awake. And at that moment of waking up, we're very weak. There's weakness and there's confusion. The moment you wake up, there's weakness and confusion. But Rav Kook says, but who doesn't understand? Anybody could understand. Ki matzev ze lo yarich, that this matzev of being in between, of being in that funny place when you wake up and confused and sometimes even like this girl, like angry and so on, that matzav lo yarich. Now again, lo yarich. So we feel like it's an arichus. It's very, very long. But lo yarich is relative, lo yarich. Not talking about, we would like to see it, the same thing with the kid. When the kid becomes bar mitzvah, everybody would like to see the day after the bar mitzvah. You know, you wouldn't believe how many parents have said this to me, that he's already putting on tefillin, he's already bar mitzvah, and he's still acting like, you know. He's still acting like, I said, like what, like you? He's still acting like a kid. So, and I say that, I say, you're 40 years old, you're acting like that. So you don't have lapses into that. He's 13 years old. Like something happened because he became a badass. So because he had some sushi and got a couple of presents, and now he's all of a sudden an adult. And it's like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. So we feel it's nairichas. Every parent will tell you that those years between 13 and the chuppah, it's like 1,000 years. Mamash, it feels like 1,000 years. Such a long time. But it's not. It's a couple of years, but it feels like 1,000 years. Where we're in right now feels like 1,000 years, but it's not. Avamil lo yavin, ki masav zeh layarich, v'yelech v'or. It's going to go, and there'll be light. Yeshanenu, we have slept. Omnam shena bilti ne'im. And it wasn't a restful sleep that we've had over the years of Golas. It was a difficult night, Golas. Yeshanenu omnam shena bilti ne'im. Rav Kook says, the sleep of a Golas has been bilti ne'im, has been unpleasant sleep. You know, you don't have a good sleep. You're sleeping, but you know, nim v'lay nim, like it's called, you're awake, you're asleep, awake. And you're not settled in. It hasn't been it's been a shana built in the yima. But the meaning of ani yeshena v'libi air, that my heart is awake, is aval bifnim, inside of the Jewish people, nishar oitzer chayim gadol. There has always remained a great treasure of life, shemakor chayim leumiim, of the source of our national life. Meaning as a people, as a nation, not just as broken individuals someplace in Poland or in Morocco, but as a nation, as a people, as Am Yisrael, there's always remained within us this trace of life, of the Makor Chaim Le'umim, that we were not created to live forever in this matzav of being in this shtetl, in this town, in this city, and to be powerless and under the control of our enemies. There's an oitzer chayim gadol from a kor chayim leumiim. An oitzer chayim, a great treasure of life that comes from the source of our national existence, as a people, as a nation. Makor chayim leumiim, v'shumim u'miyuchadim lanu. That's unique. That's deeply, it's v'shumim u'miyuchadim, it's deeply embedded in us and it's unique. Zakan ha'amim, the oldest of all nations, that's us. The oldest of all nations, Yokitz V'Yisoyer, is going to wake up. Yizkor Es Arzo is going to remember its country. It's going to remember where we come from, where we live, what our country is. Yizkor Es Arzo. Es Chosno Chvodo, to remember its security and its honor, its covet. Its covet. Kvodo. Yizkor Shefa Chaim Asher Hishpia. We're no longer going to see ourselves as weak. We're going to remember that we were the ones that brought everything. We brought all of life to this world. The Jewish people, Am Yisrael, has given life to all of existence. Yizkor Shefa Chaim Asher Hishpia. You know, there's a difference between being a mashpia and being mushpa. When you feel alive, and when you feel that you have vital importance to others, and that you're mashpia, the same way the Gemara says that when the body is busy, or when the simonim by shchita, when it's busy with the blood pouring out, so then it doesn't absorb. When do you absorb? If you're not busy giving, then you begin to absorb. Meaning, when a person I did the Torah lemifta labala, when a person feels that his existence is important, and that he's affecting others, and he's changing others, he's a mashpia. So then, mimela, you're in such a place of strength that things that are on the outside that don't belong in your life are unimportant to you. You're not a mushpa. You're a mashpia. You're a mashpia. Rabbi Nosson Schussel and all the tzaddikim explain, and I've spoken about it over the years, that you see that Paro had made such a strange gzeira. What was the gzeira? Of kol haben hayiloid hayar tashlichu. He made a gzeira that the boys have to be thrown into the water, right? And in this way, he wanted to end our existence. Say to this, won't talk about, but what about the girls? And so on. I had tried to understand what was Paro's cheshbon. That our other enemies have tried over the years to figure out how to destroy us. They have to kill all of them, or some of them, and in Mela the rest will die. It's very expensive to kill every Jew. It's not so easy to kill every Jew. So this is something that our enemies have been thinking about for a long time, like how do you get rid of them? In Germany, this was a tremendous, tremendous problem that they had. Shooting them one by one is not an effective way of killing Jews. Then you could maybe gas them in the back of a truck, or there are things, and then you could already have gas chambers. You know, there are different ways of getting rid of Jews, but they're trying to always find less expensive and more effective ways of killing Jews. So Paro had a cheshbon that he's going to throw every boy into the water. All the boys are going to be killed. But in Pnimius, what that means is that there are two ways of being a Jew. One is called a Zacher, the other is called a Nekeva. To be a Zacher, again, we're not talking about boys and girls now, so don't get silly. We're talking about the koyach v'hashpa. Zacher means to be mashpia. It means to be active. It means to be alive and to be giving, to be mashpia. The keva means to be passive and to receive. So the gzeira of Nelson says the gzeira of Paro was to kill the boys. Killing the boys means kill that instinctive feeling that a Jew has that I'm somebody that can make a difference. To kill that feeling. And to bring a Jew to feel that I'm just a passive spectator to what's happening in my life. That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to kill that feeling that you're a mashpia, that feeling that you are contributing, that you have a something important that you're doing in the world. And when you take that zachar away from a person, and you leave him in that passive state where he feels that he's not doing anything constructive. I had this conversation with a bacher 2 weeks ago that has been in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva for some time now, and he just feels that he wants to move ahead and he needs to begin to work towards a career, and there's something that he's excited about that he would like to do. There's some potential thing that there are people that are setting up for him potentially. And I had an argument with his Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, because the Rebbe insists that he is telling him day and night that if you leave yeshiva, you're finished, you're dead, you're done, you're finished, you're nobody, you're worthless, v'chulu v'chulu. And I'm pushing for him to start to work. And so the Rebbe's getting people to call me and so on, Rosh Yeshiva to call me and all this stuff, and I'm holding my ground. Because the conversation that I'm having with this bacher is that he very much would like to learn for 2 hours a day or something, but he's been feeling over the last year and a half in yeshiva that he's simply not there. He's not producing. He's not into it. He's not into it, and he just feels he's wasting his time, and he's sleeping late, and he's hanging out in Yerushalayim. He's just not. He doesn't feel. So they're saying, "Oh no, we just need to. He needs a third year, a fourth year, and then he'll come around, you know, and so on and so forth." And I don't agree. That might happen. I'm not a Navi, and the Rebbe's not a Navi. But it just seems to me that the boy is a firm boy, he's a good boy. He hasn't yet slipped into that darker oblivion that many do. He doesn't feel that he could put in anymore, 12 hours, 10 hours a day. He's not doing it. He says, I feel dishonest. I feel that my parents have been paying for me. I sit there. I learn for maybe an hour a day, 2 hours a day. I'm not, it's not happening. So I want to learn for an hour or two a day, but I want to go to work. It sounds to me like a respectable plan. I don't know. Sounds respectable. Sounds pretty traditional to me as well. I don't see anything. I don't see anything wrong with it. I also am very strong with him that he should make time to learn every day, and he wants to do that. He already went to a meet in one of the yeshivas around here, and they have something for him, like the charusa. They'll set him up, and he's all excited, and he wants to start to earn a living and to meet a girl to get married. So that sounds nice to me. He hasn't been feeling that he's not feeling that he's being productive. It's a very dangerous thing. Paro, there's a paro inside of a Jew that tries to take away from him or from her that feeling of being important, of being vital, of being able to be mashpia, being able to change things. And you just become like a mushpa. Then you're open to any hashpa from the outside. Sometimes it's good. More often it's bad. Because there's a lot of stuff outside of oneself. So Rav Kook is saying here, remembering who we are, waking up and remembering that our land, remembering our own covet. Yiska shefa chai mashi hishpia. Shefa chai mashi hishpia. To remember that Am Yisrael is the biggest mashpia in the world. After so many years of being, you know, treated a certain way, you could begin to forget that who you are as a people, not individuals also, but as a people. Yiska shefa chai mashi hishpia. Shefa chai mashi hishpia. V'ashe yashpia al adam rav. And we have so much more to be mashpia. Any one of us, typically any one of us, if we would think about, you know, I was talking about it with the grandchildren, and the children were talking at the table. And I asked the grandchildren, we were talking at a couple of grandchildren over, and I said, what do you imagine it to be like when Mashiach comes? What do you imagine it to be like? And depending upon their age, but each one had a certain... So I was proud of them. This one said, there'll be no more wars. I said, that's true. And they said, that people won't be sick anymore. Everybody will be healthy. Good. And so these were the answers. And they were all along those lines. Basically, the mahalach of all of the grandchildren was one mahalach. We're not going to be beaten, dying, and miserable anymore. And I spent the rest of the time talking to them about how all of that is true. But it's so much more than that. And somehow you've already absorbed this. That the ideal of redemption is what? That I'm not going to have a guy kicking me in the stomach. The Malchamav is kicking me, whatever you want to call it, you know what I mean. The Malchamav is kicking me, cancer kicking me, the guy kicking me, whatever it is. In other words, that's your Hasag of Gula. The Hasag of Gula is the end of bad stuff. So I said, Kindlach, that's true, and Mitzvah is going to be like that. But that's not the whole tachlis. So they've already gotten that. And do you think you and I would answer any differently, Bemis? Maybe if you thought there was somebody trying to catch you with some like rabbinical question, you'd say something fancy. But the emes is you're just hoping no more misery, no more suffering. Alibi should be good. Did this one, my sister didn't get a shidduch, she'll get a shidduch. My uncle is dying, he'll be good. My kids off the derech, he'll get on the derech. No? In other words, all the bad stuff will end. It's such a mitzumtzum dika hasaga ge'ula. It's pathetic. But that we were conditioned like that for thousands of years. For thousands of years we were conditioned like that. That the Cossacks are going to go away. That was the biggest dream of everybody in the shtetl. Is just that the Cossacks will leave me alone. Right? Then life will be good. The Cossacks go away. It's a machai. And I said to the children, I said, you think that's the whole ge'ula? What's the inyan of Dveikas Bashem, and what's the Beis HaMikdash, and what does it mean to be back in what does it mean to be in Eretz Yisrael, and what does it mean all of the koiches that you have inside of you, all of the koiches to be the people that you could be, all of that. I'm talking, if you ask Orthodox adults, forget about my grandchildren, talk to Orthodox adults, the musag of Gula is pathetic. It's pathetic. Not to say that all that stuff is not true, that the bad stuff will end. But that's all the thousands of years of galus is that should be what? That we shouldn't have galus. So? For thousands of years, the Indian of galus, and now the whole tachlis of Mashiach is that there shouldn't be galus anymore. So for that, the Baruch Hashem didn't have to make a galus to begin with. Yiska shefa chaim sheyashpia v'sheyashpia l'adam rav. An average person, he asks, do you see yourself being mashpia on the entire world, that you could have a shefa on the entire world? We were talking about this the other day. I was talking with some chaverim. That at this point we're so tired, the feeling is also just, you know what, I'm not so interested to have to mashpia in the whole world. Just do me a favor, just they should leave me alone. Just get them out of here and leave me alone. You have sometimes a teacher that's in a classroom that's like that. You know, some teacher's been teaching for 70 years. The Indian being mashpia is already a long time ago forgotten. It's just the bell ringing. You know, or June 18th, whatever that day is, when I'm done. It's not, and a feeling of not having the kaiches to be mashpia, to change anything, to change anybody. That's what Paro wanted to do. He wanted to kill the zecharim. He wanted to kill that part of us that's awake. Then you know, then let the nekevis. To let the feminine part of oneself, meaning to let that part of oneself that is passive, to let it remain. That power says, if you leave, you could leave that, because then they're going to disappear. It's just a matter of time. Meaning with the individual, that person is going to just be absorbed into Mitzrayim. He's going to be taken up by life in Egypt. No, like we see. When a kid doesn't feel that he's producing, when a kid doesn't feel that he's vital, that he's important, that he's being mashpia, so then it's just a matter of time till he becomes assimilated into Egypt. Doesn't mean he doesn't wear yarmulke anymore. He might wear yarmulke, but he becomes an Egyptian. When a Jew remembers who he is, and there's a chshivas, and he's being mashpia, in one way or the other, doesn't mean he has to be a rabbi or a rebbe or anything, but he's using his kaiches and he's being mashpia. So then the rule is that when you're being mashpia, then you don't absorb, then you don't become an Egyptian. If you're a Yisraeli and you're proud of it and you're strong, being a strong Yisraeli, a strong Yid, so then you don't absorb, being then you don't become an Egyptian. But if you're a weak Jew, then you take everything comes in, then the walls are not strong, and then the Egypt comes in. Yiska shefa chaim sheyashpia v'sheyashpia l'odam rav yoshuv l'avadoso l'koymem harisoysav. And we're going to return to our work and raise up all that's been destroyed, to fix everything that's been destroyed. So this is from a letter in the Igris, look in 1336, the footnote. Valdvar Hayeyush. Rav Kook was responding to a letter from a chashuv person in which he felt that the letter was filled with despair. It was filled with Yeyush. Rav Kook did not like Yeyush. Valdvar Hayeyush, Kvoide Mafriz al Hamida. Regarding this Yeyush that I pick up from your letter, you are exaggerating. Kvoida mafriz al hamida, you're just overdoing it. Emes hadover sheyaradnu harbe. Rav Kook says, I'm not disagreeing you. Emes hadover, it's true that yaradnu harbe, that there's been a tremendous yirida in terms of Shemir Shabbos and mitzvahs. Emes hadover sheyaradnu harbe.
Amen.
Hahamoin b'yichide haskula gam yachad. The multitudes of Jews, meaning the hamonam, regular Jews, and not only that, but even the yichide haskula, even the great leaders are no longer the same that we once had. We don't have any more chassam sofer and the Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Kivega. It's not the. There has been a yirida. Emes hadavishi iradnu harbe. Hahamoin v'yichide haskula gam yachad. All of us. There's been a tremendous yirida. Avok shenistaka yofe. But if we look into things properly, yofe, if we look carefully, nimtza pisaron ha-yirida be'etzam tchunas ha-hischachus ha-chayim ha-yoyse ha-toivim ben-alim ha-tzifuyim l'maseinu. Rav Kook says that if you look at things in a deeper way, you will be able to see the solution, the ultimate solution to this Yerida, in the Yerida itself. In the Yerida itself, you will see the solution to the Yerida. Pishun ha-Yerida be'etzam tchunas eschachu sachayim ha-yose toivim v'nalim ha-tzvuyim l'maseinu. Anyway, of course, saying that the solution to the Yerida, you see that what we're going through right now is that there's a tremendous tchunas eschachu. There's a tremendous longing and desire for something new. For something new. Hischachus. And it should be life. Hayoyse toivim hischachus. What? Hischachus achayim hayoyse toivim v'na'alim. Hischachus achayim hayoyse toivim v'na'alim. The Jews, for the first time in thousands of years, on a large scale, want something new. They want a better life. Rav Kook is agreeing that it's coming out and they want a better life, a nicer house, better car, cleaner streets, new suit. It's coming out in all that stuff in ways that are not holy necessarily, in ways that are just physical. And he's writing to this Rav, and you're seeing this as being, all you're seeing here is Yerida. That's all you're seeing here, Yerida. And Rav Kook is saying, I'm seeing over here, what? Aliyah. But it's going to take time. Nimsa pisron ha-yirida be'etzam tchunas ha-yishachus ha-chayim ha-yotzei toivim v'na'alim ha-tzvuyim l'maseinu. Because there is a better life that's awaiting our people. And there is this waking, there's this awakening that's taking place. And in the initial stages of the awakening, it's just this pure desire to have a new life, to live a new life. Just not to live that way anymore, the way that we did. Maimed hashena b'organ achai. When a living organism is asleep, b'yoser b'adam, especially with a human being, machnis es kol kachosef pnima. All of his kachos, while he's asleep, are asleep within him, deep within him, when he's sleeping. Hahigayon lo yifal, logic, reason, is not functioning when a person is sleeping. Hachushim lo yavdu, the normal senses are not active, seeing and hearing and so on when you're sleeping. Lumas ze, yavad koyach hanomuch shebechai es avadosa bezrizus. The lower elements of the person are functioning strongest when the person is asleep, and therefore v'hadim yon harlech b'lomafri. Therefore, all kinds of dreams and imagination, not seichel. Logic, reason, that's when a person's awake. When you're sleeping, so the lower, that part of oneself, the dreaming, the imagination. Kishahayikitsa maschelis, when the person starts to get up, starts to wake up, v'ha'adam hu nim v'lo nim, like I said before, and the person's still in that funny stage of nim v'lo nim, like he's like drowsy, whatever. He's not completely out of being asleep. Nim v'lay nim. Tir v'lay tir. Also, partially, you know, he's not fully awake. So then, ma'oif had dimyon posek. The flight of imagination ends. He's not dreaming anymore. The flight of imagination, the dream, the imagination ends. Hamachazos el yonim is almam. All these amazing things that he was seeing disappear. B'koch ha'chayim ha'namuchim ha'chazakim chadal mitatzumoisai. And the lower level of life is now quieting down. But omnam avodas ha'igoyon uzvizes ha'chayim ha'orim. However, the work of logic and zvizes ha'chayim ha'orim and the alacrity, the exuberance of a person being fully awake, bikuach hachushim, and all the senses being completely alert, the chilutz atzomis and the body being completely active and awake, terem bo. That hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. Al kein ha'odam oz humerufrav umolei rikshayis doimim. So during that time, the person is feeling very, very weak and is filled with feelings that seem like despair. Not much like despair. See, Rav Kook is saying something very, very, very deep. When a person is asleep, and let's say it's not a nightmare, but it's a very wonderful dream. It's a wonderful dream. It's a utopian dream. It's a gewaldige dream. So there's some comfort that the person can take in that. There's comfort that the person can take in that. Especially when life is very bitter and reality is hard. When you're dreaming, so you could have all kinds of very, very nice trips and experiences in your dream. And you could be like the Kohen Gadol. You could see yourself being the Kohen Gadol, standing lifnai v'lifnim on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole Olam is waiting outside for you to come. You could have any dream, you know, whatever. You could have all kinds of gewaldige dreams. And those wonderful dreams can help you survive the bitterness of reality. And like Elie Wiesel wrote in one of his books, that, you know, they were on the planks in the concentration camp, and the guy next to him like woke him up and said, like, why are you waking me up? Like, the life is much worse than my dream, you know? Like, well, I was doing so much better before you woke me up. So in a certain way, what Rav Kook is saying is that while we were in Golus, it's a very deep thing that he's saying, is that while we were in Golus, we were able to have dreams of Yerushalayim. We were able to have dreams of Kever Rachel. And those dreams gave us a tremendous chiz. But then, now we've woken up, but we're not fully awake. So we don't fully appreciate Yerushalayim, and we don't fully appreciate Kever Rachel. So here we are. We've lost the dream, because the dream was gewaldig. Because in the dream, there are no Arabs by Kever Rachel, you know what I mean? Nobody. Did any of you ever dream of Kever Rachel having Arabs over there? So the dream is beautiful. The dream is a wonderful dream. And we were dreaming during Golus, Yerushalayim, what's going to be? Ah, we're going to come back there to sell, what's going to be? But then the Metzius is that now we're awake and we're able to come back. And there are Arabs all over the place. So then you think, you know what? I was better off when I was dreaming. I was better off when I lived someplace in some shtetl somewhere and had a painting of Kever Rachel. It looks so nice. There were no Arabs over there. We have these people, they make a picture of the Kaisel and they take away the mosque and they fix it up in the picture to make it look like there's no longer a mosque over there, and they put an image of the Beis HaMikdash there. That's a dream. So the feeling of Yeyush comes when you, it's bad because I'm not able to have my dream anymore. I enjoyed being asleep and having the dream. And now I'm not fully aware or awake because the reality is such that I don't have the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not fully awake. So where am I now? I'm in this partial, no, I'm in this, I'm up, but I'm not successful. I'm up, but this is not the dream that I've been dreaming for thousands of years. And that brings the feeling of yesh. People have that after they're married for a short time. Because for years and years and years, they were imagining what marriage is like. And then, one morning she wakes up or he wakes up and looks over to the other side over there and says, "No, that wasn't the dream. That wasn't it. And just when you're trying to work on that, like she might say something like, "You know, you kept me up snoring half the night." So then you just say, "See, commercial, that wasn't it. That wasn't it." And then you're in this strange place. You're awake, but you don't have the dream anymore. And that hurts. And that could bring to yeyush. Okay? That could cause yeyush. That's a very, very big part of yeyush. You have people that they're completely, completely dreaming, they're not misyayish. They live in an imaginary world. If you see somebody that's mentally handicapped or something like that, so they're not misyayish. The people around them maybe are misyayish. They're not misyayish. They're bechlal not from the misyayish. And the chevra that's I'm always nervous. I don't know. You can't. What words to use nowadays? The mentally challenged. I'm afraid to say something that's not. We used to, just when we were younger, we used to say retarded. You can't say it anymore. But you know what I'm talking about. You have nebuchadnezzar that they're not healthy mentally. And I think you get arrested if you say that now. But that's, when we were kids, that's what they used to say. I mean, they used to call each other that. But, so you have somebody that's they're never from the Messiah. You look at this chevra, everybody feels bad. You ever see how everybody is doting on them? And everybody is, the emes is that if they had for a second, if that person who was mentally challenged, if they had for a second the ha'ara of or, they would feel the biggest rachmanis on the people who are standing over them, trying to look like they're doting on them, and they would feel a rachmanis on us. And they would say, "I have no problems at all. I'm bechlal not from the Messiah Hashem. You're from the Messiah Hashem. I'm not the Messiah Hashem. You're from the Messiah Hashem. I have no problems with anybody." Why, with the dinner the other night, that guy, what's his name, that was sitting next to him? Zev. I said to my wife, she couldn't come. I said, Chaval, he didn't come. Just to sit next to this tzaddik and to hear him screaming out like that was kedai. He doesn't have problems. If he would have the aura of recognition, of understanding for a minute, so then he would look at the rest of us, and all of us are feeling, we have this like little smile. Isn't that adorable? This this guy, that he's mentally challenged and he's so uninhibited, isn't that, if he was able to, he would look at us and say, "You're the biggest rachmanis in the world." What was he all excited about? Because his friend Bitzal, that's his name, Bitzal, went up to speak, right? So this guy Zev, I was sitting right next to him, I got scared a little bit because I didn't know that he was normal, because he looked a little bit like he was normal. So he starts to holler, "Hey, get up there, tiger! Go! Hey, that's hollow!" He's screaming. And then you put his picture on, that was, I don't know, that was a mistake in that, because then his picture got on there, and he went out of his kale. "That's me! That's me!" So all the normal people are saying, "Isn't that adorable? That's so cute." such a big rachmanis on us, you understand? What a rachmanis. I'm thinking about that the whole time since I was there. What a rachmanis on us. The emes is, if we would be really who we should be, and your best friend was going up to speak, you'd start screaming, "Hey, Bezalel! Hey, that's my friend! That's my friend! Bezalel! Hey!" Or when it's you, "That's me! That's me!" Well, we don't do that stuff. We don't do that stuff like that. "Oh, Bezalel's very choshev. It's a picture of me. I don't care about that. I'm not interested in myself." So who's normal? Akasha? No? It's not so posh. It's a big rachmanis on us. Understand? There's something that's off inside of him. And so therefore, it is rachmanis. But the tachlis is not us and not him. You understand? The tachlis is not that and not this. The tachlis is to be healthy and to be able to scream out, "Hey, Bezalel!" That's the tachlis. Not to be a Meshigana, and not to be a Rachmanis, an apathetic, empty Rachmanis. The tachlis is to be healthy and to be alive. So while we were in Golis, there was a certain convenience that we had of being able to dream. Ah, it's a Mechaya. I remember how tzibroch my father was when we went to Eretz Yisrael, because he said, you know, this is all the years that he was growing up and all the what he went through, he was dreaming of, he thought in Eretz Yisrael everybody's going to get a big baruch haba, you know, and that everything's going to be gewaldig, and it's like I was saying in the earlier this year, this morning, and then the reality is not like the dream. It's not like the dream. So as a result of that clash of the dream and reality, there's a lot of yeyush, there's a lot of despair. There's a lot of despair. See, we've dreamt enough, like Zev, like the guy, the guy next to me at the dinner, that was screaming. We've dreamt enough like Zev, just that we should be able to misyayish. That's not. We've dreamt enough to be like that, just enough that we're like bitter people, and we're misyayish. Not enough to actually do that, like to be a healthy person and to feel like such a simcha for your friend. To be able to not care what people think, just to be alive. Like sometimes you see a person like that, it's such a mechaya, not someone that's nabach, not well. But what Rav Kook is saying is that we're in this place where we're awake, so you don't have the dream anymore. Like the greatness of the dream, the vision, that big vision is already like, so you're awake, so you don't have the dream. But at the same time, the reality is not the one that you were dreaming of. So that could bring to a lot of yeyush. Rav Kook says he doesn't like yeyush. That's the yeyush is not for us yeyush. But that's what's happening. You see, he said earlier, "Ma'oif hadimyon posek hamachazos el yanim is almim." The exalted visions of sleep, of dreaming, are gone. Because when you're asleep, you could have tremendous, tremendous visions. Like, you know, I can remember, like, being, when I was a kid, like, the bases were loaded. It was the bottom of the ninth. And Weinberger, the first Orthodox Jew, was up at bat for the Yankees. Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, the Yankees are down by three. Last game in the World Series. And I go up there with my tits out. No, this is a dream. This is a recurring dream. Not now, but as a kid, this was a recurring dream. And then, like, the next thing is, like, my mother's trying to wake me up to go to yeshiva, you know? And I was just, like, getting up to bat. And that was going to be it. I was going to hit it out of the park. And, you know, Yankees, bottom of the ninth. And my mother says, "Get up."
And then you try to go back.
The bus,
to sleep.
The school bus. Yeah.
Try to go back and hope it continues.
Yeah, yeah, I know. No, the school bus is coming. Get up. That's like, that was my, you know, that's the thing that you remember growing up. Like the reality of like, the school bus. And this guy, Pinchas, that always threw up on the school bus. That was like the reality. Every morning, we'd throw up Pinchas. I was just like I was just getting up to bat. Now I'm with Pinchas on the bus. That's what it was. Going to Jamaica. Let me see this. He says, so we're in that place in between. I can't other Muslim roof from like Rixus Diamond Litueve. You feel like overwhelmed, Tirud. You're like, you're always Torah, then you're Messiah. You give up. Hazar is Omnam Yizgarbe Kari V'Yair Shachar. Now, a certain kind of a person, Hazar is, he's just going to continue on. He's not going to let any despair take over, and he's going to get fully awake, and he's going to go on and do what he has to. Rav Kook was such a person. He didn't talk about Yesh. He wasn't the whole Indian, even though things were crazy around him. You get up, we're awake. Let's go. But then he says, but even the greatest, courageous, most and the biggest Giba, the strongest, can't help sometimes slipping into moments of weakness. Can't help it. But when a nation is having some moments of weakness, it's a tkufa, it's a period of time. It's not just a few minutes. It could be years. This is his description of what we're in now. Yeshanu begolus shenis tadema. We slept in Golos, a deep sleep. Hachushim aluimim loyshim shulon kemat meuma. Our national instincts, we're hardly working at all as a nation, as a people. We're just trying to manage being someplace, you know, in this village, not to get beaten. Hundreds of years we were sleeping. Vata haketz haketz. Now we're awake. Avarak hachel haketz. But we're just waking up. And we're very weak. And we're confused. Avamilo yov. And this is the lesson we saw. Kimatzo liyaruch leyach v'or yishanu onam shene bilti ni'imak. Hachon b'achalinoch ha'alom d'bal yadanu. We were dreaming. We didn't know. V'al deep inside we were awake, this imprint of national life, of how we were when we were back, when we had Nevi'im and we had a Beis HaMikdash, it's still inside of us. Zekan ha'omem yakis v'yasari, just what we saw upstairs. Zekan, the oldest nation, will awake, and yizkas atzuch hazan chavadi yizkas mashpi, and so all of that. Kumari says, v'yachadim ima hispatchus ha'itis, and together with the gradual development and opening and awakening, tofihine tofi hazrocha pnimis alyona pisomis. There will appear a dawning, a powerful, sudden dawning of light within us, of who we really are, of that light that was always hidden within us. Shimi yuchedes lo, that is unique to the Jewish people. That's how Rav Kook saw the time that he was in, and we're in his time. We're in his time. It's winding down. We're in his time. And therefore, there's no inyan of being this yayish. B'chlal na. Yayish is shlomidas. There's no inyan of yayish, only his chaskis. And to be able, like the Panavizhar Rav, to say that when someone told him, when he wanted to make the yeshiva, it's a famous thing, he wanted to build this whole malchus of the yeshiva, and somebody said to some gvir said to Panavizhar Rav, ah, Rabbi, you're dreaming. But remember what he said? He says, it's true that I'm dreaming, but I dream with my eyes open. That's it. That's what it means to be a Jew. It means to dream, to have big dreams, but with your eyes open, not to be asleep. With the eyes open, Hashem's work should help us to have big dreams, and to see the big dreams, mamish, it should be with our eyes. We should see the dreams come true. Amen. Have a good Shabbos.